Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all ready? Say
Omega 7 in the house, live coming to you straight from my living room. Yes, I am the advocate you need and the advisor you want. I'd like to thank you for joining us on this segment this evening Our segment is on, it is now time to live as God. What's in it for you, huh? How can you live as a God? What is there left to say? Now it's time to enter into the position of being a God. It is now time to firmly establish man in the foundation of God's laws. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to get those laws down tight and down pat so we can function and perform in the position of gods and goddesses. Are you ready, ladies and gentlemen? I know you are. You've known all along that you've been gods and goddesses. You just have not walked in that aspiration or in that line or school of training. Now that you've had foundation to understand Tehuti and the Kemetic sense of doing things, you understand that the Kemetics knew all along that you were gods. So they prepared training for God. And that's what you have been given, the Kemetic training by Ron and Nefer Amon. And Ron and Nefer Amon knew all along that you were God. So he performed the art and skill of designing manuals and books to give you instructions so that you could acquire the laws to make you a God. Isn't that fantastic? I am so grateful to Ron Amon for doing that. His books have been so successful in the publishing business. He has been such an inspiration to all of the African Americans who use his material. And I want to give an applaud out to Ron and Nefer Amon. I've been following him for a long time. Even though I was brought up in the Yoruba practice, I still managed to study under the Kemetic Institute of Learning. They are not completely separate. They are almost one and the same, but different deities and different paths. However, both still African traditionalists. Training. Once again, I want to say Habari Gani to my old friends out there. I want to say Hotep to my new friends. And I'm so glad that you decided to join us and come along for the ride, and I'm sure you won't be disappointed. And I want to say that our next segment, you don't want to miss that next month when we start. We are going to be featuring the African Renaissance working with the new Africa of the United States of America. What's that all about, huh? We're going to be featuring it, and I definitely want you to be there to join us as we get ready for that feature. And Omi has been busily working on projects out in the field for you, so you'll be able to go to our website, learn a little bit more about each individual tribe member, what we do, a little bit about our background, see some pictures of our family and I, and even be able to go on our website and make some purchases of African materials, African artifacts, and possibly the clothing if they come in at a time. However, we do have the artifact already up out there and a videotape that features some of the beautiful African women from around the world. No, I haven't been to Africa yet. The closest I've been to Africa is in Europe, where those Africans were brought in as refugees. So I had a chance to commune with them for about 5 years, and they were right there 8 hours away from me in Germany. However, this particular website is being featured for my listening audience to go to gather information, material. And we have two linking websites that you're going to be able to go to. And we're going to feature that on my page, on my blog page. And you can also, from time to time, go over to my chat room, and there will be information featured there. We haven't done a whole lot with chat room this semester. However, we are going to be getting more into it, because I'm going to try to bring people out into the website to do some other things and get involved. Once again, I'd like for you to hold on to your horses and stay tuned, because we're about to get those laws down pat so we can know what we need to implement so we can become fully developed into the Godhead. And not the big G, but the little G, the God with the big head full of wisdom. You know what I'm saying? What up, little G? Are you a God? Yes, I'm a God. And that's what I want you to be able to say. And you're an expression of God. A chip off the old block, one would say. Not the God who created the universe, but a chip off the old block. As one drop of water is to the ocean, you're like that one drop of water to the ocean. You're part of the ocean, and you make up the ocean, but you're not the past ocean. You know what I mean? All right, go ahead, little G. Go ahead, little G. I want to send three shouts out into the atmosphere to our neighbor radio station, Delani Aman. How are you? Harambe. 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 And ladies and gentlemen, you know I'm excited. We're already in the preseason for Kwanzaa. I miss going through all the Kwanzaa excitement in Chicago. Was on my way, started slipping and sliding, locked my keys in the car, got as far as to the place, but never made it into the building. People were there for the pre-Kwanzaa season. But that's okay. I'm getting ready for the Kwanzaa event on December 26th. You better believe it. Omi's going to be in the place with her Kwanzaa smile on, ready for Kwanzaa, because I know how to do Kwanzaa on a seven-day basis. How about you, ladies and gentlemen? I'm urging you to start patronizing some of your workers out there. Start buying your African garb and buying your candles and getting all of those rituals you need and those things you need to make your gifts for Kwanzaa. When you make those zawatis, you know, the gifts of zawati, the ones you're going to make for your family, you can start buying the products right now. Get in line. Go ahead, Ola G, get your thing for Kwanzaa, because our brothers is going to tell us what we need to do to get geared up for Kwanzaa and to purchase our products from them, because they want us to be out there getting our stuff. Okay, here we go.
Shop owner, I want your business. What must I do to convince you that I'm here to service you? I live in the neighborhood and my ways are just as good. Why don't you come and support me the way you know you should? My brothers who got all their wealth, they say God bless the child who's got his own. Though a child be blessed, he can't do much alone. Who can I turn to if I can't count on you? What is a small businessman to do? Economic.
Yes, yes. We have to help our brothers and sisters with Umoja purchasing things from our community that are made by us, for us, for Kwanzaa. It's here, ladies and gentlemen. You ought to be ready for it. I've been talking about it all year long. And if you're not, just get yourself ready. Just get on up. Go ahead on, Lil G, and go on down there to the corner store. You know where they sell those red, black, and green candles. And get your set, because you're going to need all those candles to acknowledge Kwanzaa. You're going to need 7 of them to be exact. Make sure you get all of the numbers you need, 3 of the red, 3 of the green, and 1 of the black, and you'll be set for Kwanzaa. And light one every day. And as you light one every day, find gifts or make gifts that you can get to your loved ones. Include your family. Go out and transport you some children into your house if you have to. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to transport some kids into my house, and we're going to do Kwanzaa. I'm going to go get back and get some of my students that want to be a part, and we're going to do Kwanzaa, because you know it is important for us to give our first fruit back to God. And that's why we do our rituals in this classroom every day. That's why we acknowledge him, because of our gratitude. We're so grateful that he has spared us. And if you didn't know it, we're but by the grace of God, because just by the grace of God, there goes us out there. And because he has spared us, we're grateful and we pay homage to him on a day-to-day basis. Why don't you do the same thing? Call on your ancestors. It's okay. Go ahead. Go on. Big Mama been waiting for you to call her back anyway. Papa and Big Daddy been asking for you to get their big chair ready so they can come home and sit and sup with you. Join us, ladies and gentlemen, as we get ready for the rituals. But I want to bring your attention to something, because we've been doing an awful lot of studying here. We've been grinding, yes. Omi's been putting your head to the metal and grinding with the pencil. I know. You probably say, I work people to death, and it's sort of like Omi's taking you back to school. In the preceding pages, ladies and gentlemen, I know you receive details about religion that is to bring you into harmony with science. And we've talked about the comedic religion. It's cosmology. It will shake hands with the modern physics and the principles. And I'm reading from page 295. It is a cosmology that shakes hands with modern psychology. It's the principles of human nature and development, and not only in psychology, physiology, sociology, and psychotherapy, education, medicine, spiritual cultivation, and physics, but it ties them together through its specialized language, the deity form of the tree of life. That's what we've been learning about, are the linguistic conventions of the comedic science of life. We've been studying about the comedic science of life, going up the tree of the ladder. That is why you hear the music moving on up. We're moving on up the tree of life. It enables us to readily see the host of causes of the problem that besets each and every one of us in the world, that results from the ironic separation of science from religion and philosophy. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to separate religion from philosophy. I'm giving you a way of life, not a practice to tie you to anything. Get that out of your mind. I'm trying to free you from religion and give you a philosophy, a way of doing things. It is religion that is based on the development of man's character. That's what we draw from religion, is our character, the mental faculties, and the spiritual power, by giving a clear and cultivated picture of the stages of man's growth and showing what he is fitted for and how he or she will behave at each stage. It regulates and regulating institute. It is showing the way to the solution and the problem that are destroying the world today. That's right. I've been trying to make it very plain for them that read it. Plain to the point to show you what is destroying the world, and because of our lack of character and a lack of having the ability to have remorse, people are killing cold-bloodedly. They've turned the knife and the rope on themselves and killing cold-heartedly. I would like to show you that God had never intended for disharmony to be setting this earth. And as long as we know how to develop good character and feel good about ourselves, then we can feel good about others. But if you're shading yourself these days, feeling very low in your spirit, and you feel no count, guess what? You look at the other person with jaundiced eye. It's easy for you to walk up and smite your brother because you have no respect for yourself. What I've been trying to teach you is respect for yourself and love for your neighbor as yourself. Remember, those are the two commandments I gave you. The two that Jesus left for us, the only two he left for us, to love ourselves and then to love our neighbor as ourselves. It will help us to get along and to fare better in society. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to pause here and I'm going to ask permission for my elder to speak. I want to do things in an orderly fashion. I'm going to get my elder to come in, give me permission to speak, and then proceed with a prayer. And then we'll be on our way because we are now getting ready to enter into the talking cure. Why don't you stand to your feet? You are now getting ready to stand upon holy ground. The commencement for the purification is now ready to begin. If you are not standing to your feet, you might want to get on your feet because we do not enter into the holiest of holy without being prepared for this occasion. As we now stand to our feet, to ready for the holiest of holy. Elder, do I have permission to speak?
Yes, by all means, you have permission to speak.
Thank you so much, Elder. Will you render us a prayer, please, Elder?
Our Father, we come with our heads and our hearts. Once again, we come and thank you for the goodness and mercy that you have thrown upon us. Father, as the knowledge go forward, we pray that it will be applied to each and every one of us. And as it applies to us, then we apply to ourselves and we will share it with others. And Father, we ask you for a sense of direction. And as we take the sense of direction you give us, help us to recognize every trait that the enemy has, and any appointment he has for us, we count it as cancel. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we thank you and we praise you, and we say amen, amen.
Amen for that prayer, Amara. And we're getting there, ladies and gentlemen. Pretty soon she'll be rising higher and higher. She'll be ending her prayers with Amara, Amara. Ladies and gentlemen, as we proceed over to the purification table, Baba, is the purification ready?
It's ready.
All right, let the purification begin. As I pour libations to the west, I say. As I pour libations to the south, I say, Ashe. As I pour libations to the north, I say, Ashe. As I pour libations to the west, I say, Ashe. As I take the water, wash my face with it. I do not want to grieve the Almighty with a stale face. And as the water hits the ground, ladies and gentlemen, we are now standing on holy ground. If you do not have your list of names out by now, you need to go and get them out. Father, is the purification complete?
Complete.
Thank you very much, Baba, for that purification. And ladies and gentlemen, we're fortunate to have Baba back in the house. He has not been able to join us right now. He's involved in some very heated business proposition. And just keep him in your prayers. As we stand up now, quiet in our voice, summoning our elders and ancestors to come forward. We take deep breaths, breathing in and out the oxygen of God, our own leaf, breathing out the toxic carbon of oxygen, knowing that when we quiet ourselves, God can speak to us and through us. Quiet yourself, synchronizing your vital signs with me. I'll synchronize mine with yours. As we pause for a moment of quiet peace. We ask the ancestors to come in and to sup with us. We call them one by one. We light a candle for our mother's side of the people and set before us so that there is light to guide them back home. We set a glass of water out before our family members, our mother's side of people, so that their thirst may be quenched, but they may not thirst anymore. We say, come home, family. Come home and get your thirst met. We are here waiting. I light a candle for my father's side of the people, and I say, Father, Big Daddy, come on home. Bring the family home with you. The light has been lit to guide you back home. We set a glass of water before my father's people so that their thirst may be quenched, and that they may thirst no more, and that they may have life. We feed their heads so that one day when they come back to life, we create a house for them, and the dead comes back to life. And the house is ready, available for all to see, that the dead can live and does walk with the energy that we give it by feeding the heads of our ancestors and loved ones. I like to call on Robert Jenkins. I say Ashe. Clara Mae Jenkins, Ashe. Tommy Pete Harvey, Ashe. Eugene Lilly, Ashe. Sam Lilly, Ashe. George Lilly, Ashe. I call forth the name of Lucille Day, Ashe. I call forth Louise Lord, Ashe. Ludell James, Ashe. Isa Lilly, Ashe. Bessie Lilly, Ashe. Essely Pope, Ashe. I call forth the name of Tommy Harvey, Ashe. Michelle Harvey, Ashe. Michael Harvey, Ashe. I say, so be it. Robert Jenkins, Ashe. Marvin Jenkins, Ashe. I say, so be it, so let it be done. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't already have your names out of your ancestors, you might want to take those names out and call them out one by one. And get ready so that we can line up to go into the sanctuary. The doors are about to close. Now, the frequency levels are out in the atmosphere. Whatever you need, Lil G, whatever you need, Lil G, reach out and take it by force. Take your freedom by force. If you need a little bit more encouragement, take your encouragement. If you need a little bit more faith, haven't I given you enough faith? The measure of faith, God said, take that faith, that mustard seed, that grain of mustard seed, and believe on things like a shoot of my woman for what you can't see. If you have family members who are wayward, lost, absent without leave, call them back. Call them back home. Command them to come back home. Send the ancestors after them. The frequencies are all available now. We have the energy. We have tapped in. We have the formula now. We have what we say, Lil G. And now that we're performing like God, we stand up and call a thing that be not as though it were. Even though I don't care what it looks like on the outside, I don't care what it seems like, I don't care what it probably is, I don't care what the outcome might be, I'm telling you in the end it says, we win. And if we win, whatever we speak and say will come to pass, because the Creator said that our words are in Him, and if His word is in us, we can ask for it. And we can command the Creator today. How many of you are able to stand flat-footed and command the Creator today? Command yourself, because God lives within you. Get up and rise up and command the Spirit that lives within inside of you to do better. Command the Spirit to take back what belongs to you. Go over and possess the land. Possess me, your land, Africa, and take it back. Take it by force if you have to. Take it by force if you have to. Now that the frequency vibration is there, healing is in the atmosphere. If you got any dental function or illness or position that you have in status psychologically where you can't see your way, the energy levels are now in the atmosphere. living life to you. If you're living a shallow life, basement life, then you need to come up on the third floor and rise up the tree of the ladder of good and evil. Rise up, I say, and stop living a shallow basement, a joy-filled basement life. He has not given you the power of fear, but of a sound mind. So stand erect and stop prostrating yourself. Stand up, because God has called you to be God. And he cannot do it without himself. He said that one thing he could not do, and that is to reduce himself to the level of a man. He's called you. You have a debt to pay. You have a debt to pay to society. You're not your own. But you must understand he gave you two commandments. To love yourself, and the other one is likened to the first. To love your neighbor as yourself. The time is set for each and every one of us to call things that be not in this world, and to take our frame of reference and to create for ourselves. The bigger reference of consciousness will determine how big your heaven is. The larger your understanding of spiritual things will determine how far you will travel. If your frame of reference has not grown, and your institutional training has not developed, and you are still laying dormant, putrefied in your own way, then your frame of reference will be limited. And your thing that you want to speak out on behalf of yourself will be limited. It's not because you are poor, it's because you're poor in your spirit. Now, we're not being poor in our spirit today. We're lifting ourselves up like God and God. And as long as we can stand up erect, we can get up. But if you're down on your knees, how can a man help himself when he's down on his knees? Get up, I say, little G. Get up, I say. And when you get up, you must understand that a God accomplishes. He does that which is intended. He perfects, he masters the thing. Where are the masters of the world? Where are the masters? And I'm not talking about the Godhead in heaven, but the little G with the big hand full of wisdom. Stand up now, and if you have been resurrected, and you've gone down into the water, and you've come up from the water like Jesus exemplified, if you've gone down and been sick and come up from the water, you come back in a second. are waiting for us. The sanctuary will be closing. Go into the sanctuary and please be seated. Children in the rear and elders in the front, taking your seat, quietly sitting down. And if you want, you may stand on your ancestors' shoulders. They are waiting for you so that you can stand on their shoulders, because we know it's their shoulders that got us over the good ship called Jesus. Take your places, ladies and gentlemen, and sit down quickly. Sit quickly. The sanctuary is about to close. Take your seat. Quietly going in, the ancestors are waiting. Thank you, ancestors, for coming and joining us today on this occasion. Thank you for being a part of this occasion as we begin to live as God. We begin to transform our sentences, our thoughts, and our words so that we speak as God speaks. And if we affirm this, we establish the foundation of God's law. Help us, ancestors. We need your help. Take your seats quickly. The ancestors are waiting to assist and guide us. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you have just completed the talking cure. And those of you who are still in need, standing in the need of prayer, remember that Jesus went down under, symbolically buried in the grave, and when you took the oath to be baptized, you went down under in the water. But when you came up, oh boy, when you came up, all power was supposed to be in your hand. If it's not, then you may need to be dunked again. You may need to be dunked again. And it doesn't have to be a physical thing. You can do it inwardly. Remember, the demonstration of the outward baptism is for the people to affirm the change that you have made. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to take you over to page 295 in the Medinetter, Volume 2, where it talks about concluding the remarks in Chapter 19. And I was telling you about the preceding chapters. We've been learning about religion and psychology and understanding exactly why we want man to straighten up, because we want to see what it is that the world needs to be a better place. It is religion, it says, that is based on the development of man's character, mental facilities, and spiritual power by giving a clear and accurate picture of the stages of man's growth and showing what he is fitted for and how he or she will behave at each stage. It serves as a guide for the correct organization of society and its regulation and institution. It shows the way to the solution of the problem that are destroying the world today. It takes us past the enormous belief that the causes of our problem reside in our differences, our perpetuation, and conflicts and want, and leads us to see that the real cause resides in the widespread ignorance of ourselves. We have created institutions to regulate and shape our behavior that have proven to be dismal. Failures. No matter, no more can you turn to good human beings if you do not know man. Then can you breed championships throughout the horse if you know nothing of horses? Okay, what they're saying here is, how can you breed a champion horse if you don't know anything about horses? Let me go over here and take a look here. Now, I want to say something about the laws. We have learned about some of the laws and the laws of inertia, the laws of attraction. We've learned about what draws the negative to the positive, and there are laws that you must follow in order to be in line with God's good grace. If you don't know what those laws are, you need to take that book out of the Kemetic Institute and understand that God has a set of laws that we must abide by. And when he asks you to go through the stages and understanding those laws, you have to realize that if the laws are offended, you cannot defy gravity. You cannot defy the laws of attraction, and you must understand that God has given us laws so that we can manifest a character of good life. Now, I want to stop and say this, and I'm going to just give this to you off the top, right off according to Omi. We've had assignments in this classroom, and we've been asked to do many different things and to research in different areas. I'm going to ask you to further research about some of the laws, for example, the laws of inertia. I'd like for you to understand the laws of alchemy, bringing money to you. Let's focus in on alchemy, because so many people are running after the almighty dollar. They're trying to find it. They're trying to get it. They don't have time to do nothing else but get alchemy. Alchemy doesn't get God, ladies and gentlemen. Alchemy must be running after you. And there's methods that you can perform to get alchemy running after you. There's methods to keeping money around you all the time so that it's drawn to more money. And there's methods of the laws of attraction of this alchemy going out into the universe. It has to come back. So therefore, when you see people in church that are givers and giving, they're giving to get, ladies and gentlemen. I understand that concept, but I wonder if you understand it. The oldest woman in there that says, I'm going to pay my tithes because I know what tithes do for me. Tithes is going to bless me. Now, they got the concept right, partially right, but there's a portion that they don't understand. If you never gave your money to the church and you gave it to another source, the law still applies. The money will come back to you, glory, hallelujah, groovy style. The money will come back to you. Omi is telling you what she knows, not something she heard. I'm telling you something I know, because if you take that same donation and give it to the church of the down and out who needs to have a soup kitchen and needs to be fed, if you take that same dollar bill and incorporate it into that soup kitchen, guess what? It's going to come back to you the same way. Money is short in the lives of some people, and it doesn't come as fast as it used to. So they don't have extra money to throw away. You got to know these days when you invest in that alchemy that it's going to come back to you. The laws are there to back you up, little G. Go ahead on and give that money to that Salvation Army man who's standing on the corner. Give your tithes to him. It will come back the same way. Now, if you know a person you want to bless personally and you want to go to their house and bless them so you can see where your dollars and cents are going, you could do that too. You don't necessarily have to give that preacher another $2,000 to put in his bank account, which he doesn't know what to do with. He got more accounts than he knows what to do with. You could take that same money and go over to that sister and say, give me your address. I'd like to pay you a visit. I want to bless you. Go to their house. If you're going to go to church, go in the church and see who needs to be blessed the most. Then go to their house and bless them. And tell them they don't have to give you nothing. Now, hear me good now. Hear me good now, church, because I'm telling you what I know. God will send somebody to aid you in every situation if your heart has been right. If you've been focusing in on the kingdom living, and your heart is on the kingdom, then all things will be added to you. I'm telling you what I know. Sometimes you step out on faith and say, Lord, I'm going to buy this bed, this dresser, this cabinet, this curio, but I don't know how I'm going to get it home. But I know I need it, Lord. I know I need it, and I'm going to try to see if I can even get it up on my car. But you know how impossible that is. But God said, I will honor the fact that you have such faith, and I will send you some help. As I stood out there watching this man feverishly put this curio on top of my car, not knowing if it would slide off, create a terrible crash, or injure anyone. Suddenly, as I looked at the corner of my eye, there was a woman driving back to the facility. saying, Miss, I've been watching you. I was on my way out, but God said, come back and see to it that you got your things home. She said, load them up on my truck. I'm here to take care of you. I'm here to take care of you. Now, as I tied into various different people, these people don't have to have a lot of money. They just have to be obedient to what God is telling them. And then they tied my things on her truck. She wouldn't let me pay her. She wouldn't take the money, but she would give me her name and address, and I said, I will do unto you and bless you the same way. What I'm saying to you today, people, is that your blessings are required if that circulation of filthy lucre is going to get back to your hands. If you are applying the laws, it's going to get back to your hands. But if you're running after money, trying to see how you can get it, how you can find it, it won't be available to you. But you have got to find a reason to get it to someone else. And guess what? As fast as you're getting it to somebody else, it's circulating, trying to get back in your head, in your pocketbook. Now, when you go to church, don't tell me that somebody has not taken a radar gun and they've taken a radiation of how much everybody's supposed to be giving. Don't be dressed too sharp for church, because they might make the mistake of thinking your bankroll belongs to you, them, and they're in your pocketbook now. Okay, not only are they in your pocketbook, they're also asking you to bring in your W-2 and your 1040 so they can size it up to see if you're calculating your dollars and cents right to make sure you got enough for your 10% for them. Don't let nobody play on your conscience for that type of game. Do not. Because you'll be in a vicious circle, and filthy lucre will never get back to you because you're putting it in the hands of the wrong people. You're casting your money to the swine, and you don't want to do that to the gin. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you that it's very important for you to understand this lesson if you want to be rich in your spirit. If you've never seen yourself broke, and you've always thought, I have money, you will have money. And if you've always thought that there's enough money for you to buy what it is you need when you haven't squandered the money and when you've been a good steward, it will be there. It will be there. And if you go in and see a piece of land that you want and you said, boy, I've been saving my money for so long, maybe now is the time that I should make that investment, then maybe it is. And maybe if that money hasn't stretched enough, some kind of way God will send that excess that you need. You may put 70%, but God makes up the difference of 30%, or vice versa. But I'm trying to get you to understand that these laws and principles have to be in place. You cannot be running after money and you haven't acknowledged God. God has to be at the head of your life, your spiritual life, where you sit down, commune with him, allowing him to speak to you, telling him your love for him, not begging God, not pleading with God about doing for you. God is not your bellhop, but you sitting there talking to God every minute about the love in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, I've gotten so worked up about God, I want to take a station identification, but I'll be brief and I'll be short and I'll get right back to you in the atmosphere, ladies and gentlemen. So please join me for a short station identification as we take a break. But we'll be right back at you in the atmosphere.
I'll be brief. I won't hold you up like some comfy beef. I'll get straight to the point. In no time, I'll have you up out of this joint. I'll be short. I won't keep you like you're in some jury court. Waiting while debating which plaintiff case will prevail. Or deciding which one will go to jail. Yes, I'll hurry. You don't have to worry. Get ready to go. So before anyone hits the door, just remember, I still have the floor. I'm a poet, for those of you who don't know it, and it's been my real intention to show it.
Ladies and gentlemen, what is there left to say? Other than it is now time for us to affirm ourselves as God. It is now time for us to affirm ourselves as God. God has no wants and no lacks. Whatever God needs, it comes to him to do his work. But you first have got to have some work to do. Don't just think that God's going to put some money in your pocket and give you the desires of your heart because you're just available. You've got to be doing God's work. You can't be sitting up in the church talking about, I'm going to name it and claim it, and I'm going to get what I want. I'm going to say it, let the preacher say it, and I'm going to get what I want. No, you have to be doing his work. Don't let the preachers fool you because they're doing all of this charisma preaching, the name it and claim it. If you're not doing any work out in the field, I don't care how many times you name it and claim it, it ain't coming to you. But if you're out there doing his work, finding those missions that you can get involved in, applying your life, letting it be an example for others. And please, beyond all means, understand that money is a tool, and it worketh as a tool to get all things that you need. And if you understand that it's a tool, when you invest it and you're trying to multiply it, you have to understand savings is of essence too, so that you can use the money that God is giving you to multiply so that it can circulate more than one time. That's why I constantly tell you to circulate your dollars in your own community. I don't care what you're buying, but circulate those dollars in your community to allow your brothers and sisters to benefit from your good income. Now, if you're going to take it and go out there to the mall to take it outside of your community, and we're the number one consumers, ladies and gentlemen. We buy more than any race of people. We have income to our disposal. We just need to know what to do with it. And the church knows it. So he prays on your innocence and ability to know what to spend it on. Excuse me. And if the church knows it, he checks the pistons. He knows that you got it. He's waiting for you to give it to you. If he don't beg you for it. You've got to have enough sense to understand once you've given the church their donation. Don't be standing around the pulpit waiting to see how good the preacher's going to preach and then dropping 50s and 20s around him. What you're doing is you're making a glutton out of him. The more he acts a fool and performs, he figures you're going to drop more money around him. That is not scriptural, and I want you to know that. I don't care what anybody say. I'll challenge you to it. Find a scripture in the book that shows that John and Peter and Paul had money chopping around them every time they preached. Those men were not receiving the income for their messages. Now, you could do a lot better things with your money than drop money around a preacher who is taking trips all over the land and who is healing very few people, and he's not raising up people like Jesus was. Now, I'm telling you, there's soup kitchens, there's missions that you can invest your money in. Even television shows if the people are doing right with the mission. That you can monitor, you can go behind so you're not throwing good money to bad. Now, sometimes I've gone in these churches and I felt very bad, like I was throwing good money to bad. Let me give you my case in point. And Omi wouldn't lie to you about no church. There was once a time in my life that I had to second guess a minister and his fivefold ministry. You don't write a check to submit to the church, and then have them take that check and alter it, and then have your bank calling you questioning whether or not you meant to put another zero behind your numbers, and saying that they were questioning whether or not they were going to cash it, and could you come down here to clear it up? You're so embarrassed you don't know how to go back to the preacher and say, which one of y'all put a zero behind this check? I got up enough nerve to go back to the minister and had a private meeting with him. He made sure that he found the time for me because he wanted to find out just who had done this. And he went on and on and on like he said it couldn't have been him or his staff. But I said, I'm sure that the bank wouldn't have to lie to me about this. They had nothing to gain. He never admitted doing it or his staff, but he reassured me that it would never happen again. At that point, I knew it wouldn't happen again. I stopped my tithing. I stopped my tithing because they could no longer be trusted. I stopped my tithing because I had trusted them, and they could have ended up in prison had I pressed the point, had the check went through. Several other occasions, I had given more than what my tithes required, and I was asked to give an additional $2,000 to help raise up a school in the building of the church. The year went along so fast, and the school never got set up. And finally, we had a meeting to talk about what had happened to all this money we had surrendered in addition to our tithes, and where was the school. We were then told that the school had been canceled, there would be no school, and that the monies would be transferred over to another mission. We then inquired what other mission, and they set the ministry out on the water. And that's when everyone blew up and said, what ministry on the water? Who are you ministering to on the water? And what people out there are there to recruit? My husband then got up and walked out of the church and said, I'll see you at home. At that particular point, I still had faith. I had faith to believe that these people were not pulling my leg again, and once again found out that they were pulling my leg. Now, here I am, a full-blown evangelist in the church, and this is happening. I can imagine what has probably been happening to other people. But I then learned the hard way. You've got to be careful of where you surrender your money and to whom and for what purpose. You've got to be very good at being a good steward, because God will take your money away from you if you do not apply it properly. You're only a steward over this money. And when you become a good steward, He will then allow more to get into your hands. But if you're cautious and you throw caution to the wind and you are careless about investment, He will take it away. I don't care how much you pray for it, He will take it away. And to those husbands who are mistreating their wives and who are using the money outside of their marriage and other households and other women, He will take that away from you and give it to your wife. I know that. And when He gives it to your wife to manage, He will take all power away from you to have any authority to manage your own money that you're working for. You have to be a steward, and you have to understand what stewardship is. Not being shrewd, but being cautious about how you invest your money. So, you want to be rich, you say. You want to have a lot of filthy lucre, and you want to have all of this money surrounding you so that any moment you can get whatever you want, you're going to get headaches is what you're going to get, because it requires to have a good head on your shoulder, because if you don't, you're going to embark upon a lot of troubles. With money, it brings troubles. How to spend it, who to give it to, who you owe, and who else do you need to be on your checkbook, and who else you need to pay some money to. There's always people coming out of the woodwork saying, you know you owe me, or you remember back when. Then you got to figure out all of these people to pay. Handling money is not an easy task. Therefore, you pray for wisdom and understanding. And if you don't have it, over in the book of James, it said that He will give it to us unappointedly. Now, I'm talking about laws and principles here today. I'm talking about laws to become a God. Those who can handle money will be good authority over money, and they can delegate very well. And money doesn't go to their head. And they can function as if they don't have it. But if those who have had money and have been poor as a church mouse, and once they get it, they become a fool, and their money soon parts very quickly, because they have no authority and no managerial skills over it and how to apply it. You must take money to make more money. You must circulate money into the hands of those people who have never had it. You must give willingly to those people who you think can get on their feet and you can help establish them. You must not give your money to the shrine so that it can be swindled away. You must understand that God gives us the ability to get rich, not man. Not the preacher. I will repeat that. God gives us the ability to get rich, and not the preacher. Don't let Him tell you that if you give to the church, it's going to be pressed down, measured together, running over in your bosom. It's in the scriptures, but man does not have that authority to give you that, because the Bible said, do not put your faith in the arms of the legs of a man. Do not. And when you put your faith in the arms of a man and the legs of a man, he will fail you every time. I don't care how many times you go into a meeting with them. There's somebody there that wants to squander the money, lie about the money, cheat on the money. But when God gives it to you, He addeth no regret and no sorrow. Understand the laws and principles that I'm talking about here. The laws of alchemy. Say it to yourself, the laws of alchemy. if you're rich, and rich as can be, you could throw every dime of it out the window. The laws and principles said that it will be back into your hand, circulating back to your hand because of the energy that's attached to it. Have you run into some people that have the ability to get money frequently all the time, and they seem to always have money and they're never broke? They don't put value in it. It's not the money they put value in, but the man upstairs or the ori in their heart that is the person to get it to them. When you search for the kingdom and seek the kingdom is within yourself and building your own spiritual lifeline and own character. Then everything you need, such as filthy lucre and money, will be added to you. It will be looking for you. It'll be knocking on your door. You don't have to go banging the door down. Where's that money? You don't have to go looking for it. It will look for you. I know what I'm telling you. I'm seeing some money on its way to me right now. It's been making its way around the universe trying to get to me. And if the phone calls come, I'm expecting every day that somebody will say, have you been waiting for this bundle? I've been trying to get it to you. This box is on its way to you, or this packet. Believe ye for those things. And then do good by God. Do his deed. Then you know it's due you. Don't sit up and try to work deals with man. Don't sit up and believe man for your income. And even for your job you work, you don't believe man for your income. Because man is not the one to give you the ability to get rich. It is the Creator who gives you the ability to get rich. Your Ori, if you are to have good success and become rich, thank your Ori. So if you want riches, get out on your knees and call an Ori and tell him, Ori, you know I have needs. Ori, you know I have wants and I have responsibility. Supply my needs, Ori. Then begin to fellowship with Ori every day. Get on his good side. Call him Great Father. Call him the Omnipotent One, Omniconscious One, and speak sweet things to him and fellowship with him. Ori knows your needs. He knows your desires. He will then give you the desires of your heart because of the laws. He cannot go against his own laws because he said if his word be in you and you be in his word, you can ask him for whatever you will. Now, if you all outside of the will of God, you on the phone all day long talking to man about getting a dollar, talking to man about how he can set up this deal so you can get this deal and that one and the other one, then I guarantee you, you have put faith in the legs of a man, and you have put faith in the legs of a man or woman. They cannot prosper you. Your prosperity and your health, all of your health, all of my health comes from the Lord. All of my health, I will lift up my voice unto the heel, for with cometh all of my help. My help cometh from the Lord. He said he would not suffer thy foot to be moved. The Lord that healeth thee, he shall provide my need. My help, all of my help, all of my help come from the Lord. Oh, I lift my hand to you, Lord. All of my help come from the Lord. Oh, I lift my hand to you, Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, you must know that your health comes from the Lord, not from man. God is not going to come down here and do it himself. He will place a man to do his work, but your help is coming from God. And you must understand, in today's time, when there's schemes everywhere that beset us, when there are men hungry for deals and monies all over the place, they will tell you all manners of things to get you to believe in them. Put your faith in the Creator, in the Ori, in the Creator, because He is the one that gives you the ability to get riches and added no sorrow to it. Ladies and gentlemen, stop running after money. Stop running after riches. Call it to you, then do the work of God. And watch how it manifests and shows up in your life. Applying the principles now that you are God, God is going to honor your request. When you are doing His will, you're working in the force and the forefront out there. He will create houses for you that you didn't even build with your own hands. The riches of the wicked will be laid up for the just. Your institution, your emperor, your kingdom will be laid up for you as you go out into the vineyard and do His work. Remembering the two commandments, to love yourself and to love your neighbor as yourself, and to do good unto your neighbor, and to treat yourself good. And I don't mean buying yourself everything. I mean being respectable, having good character and good conduct, and understanding that you're a steward over these things that God has entrusted you to. So you cannot swindle the church's money. Even though the pastor has told you that you can get rich by giving to the church. Who is the church, you say? The same way you say, who is your neighbor? Who is the church? The church is you. You're the church. Make it yourself rich, ladies and gentlemen, with character and good conduct. You make yourself rich with good substance. Don't let anybody buy you. You're not for sale. Don't let any pastor buy you or no church buy you. Stop giving your riches to swine. Stop going to church dropping money down before people's feet. It's not scriptural. Understanding that we're gods now. We're applying laws. Pretty soon we're going to be unlocking prison cells and releasing people. We have that authority and power right near, right now at our feet. We have the ability to speak a thing that be not as though it were. God's have authority. Take your authority. Authority is worth more money. Just like when they took Jesus to Caesar, Caesar said, I don't have the authority to imprison this man. I wash my hands with it. Know your authority and know what you have authority over. You have authority and dominion over money. You have the ability to call money to line up and bring the mule and give you the things you need to do your work. Call that mule and tell the mule that you have need of his hide. Call the money to you and command the earth to assist you. Command Mother Nature to give you the sources you need, and it will show up. I'm sitting here right now waiting for Mother Nature to open up the earth to assist me in all of my needs. Every bit of them to build this radio station. All of them. I can't do anything but meditate. And that's why we're taking you through this program, to show you how to meditate through this course, to believe on your filthy lucre, your currencies, to go into a deep trance and see monetary gain in front of you, the Benjamins and Ben Franklins, and calling them to you in the spirit realm. So when you come up out of that deep realm, your pockets are filled with money. Don't ask me how I know, but I know that if you do the work of God, you won't have need of anything. But you've got to understand the power is within you. But you have to rise up first and be a God. And when you rise up and take authority and take dominion over a situation, you become a God. Your money problems will be over with. Not that you're going to be filthy rich, but you have the authority to have that which you need to do the job that God has called you to do. Now, if you're getting your money in your filthy rich in your pocket just so you can play the part of a rich person and you look to part of a rich person and you want to showboat, don't think God is trying to allow you to showboat on his behalf. You better be understanding that this money is not to make you rich. It is to give you the authority that you need to do God's work. Now, once you get this authority, don't take it for granted. It can be taken. You have to understand the laws and principles you put into effect. You have to understand that God demands a thing. A God defies others. When he has come across someone with a negative spirit, he confirms, he takes control. Cities are not falling apart when the God is running them. Communities are not out of order. Churches will line up with what the word of a God says. Now, if you got preachers out of order, it is your place, God, to get them in order, to tell them the order of things. And if you got women falling in love with the preacher just because they got a suit on and they're preaching, and now they don't know what to do with their money, so they're going to love the preacher to death with the money, thinking it's going to make them rich. No. That's why you're getting poor in your pocketbook. And that's why when you get home, you can't seem to make ends meet, because you done giving all the money away to the preacher because you like how you look in his new suit and his new sweaty shoe, so you feel you're giving to God. No, you're not. Stop your lying. You're not giving it to God. God doesn't need your money. God needs your work. God needs your commitment. God needs your firmness to be an affirmed citizen, to take authority over things, and to be able to stand up and do his work. And he'll make you rich, ladies and gentlemen. He'll make you rich in your spirit, in your conscience. And it's possible. It really is possible to be rich in your spirit. And it's understanding that once you learn the principles, what else is there left to do but to take authority? Take authority over your life, ladies and gentlemen. Take authority over the situation in your life where you have had problems. Take authority over your marriages. Take authority over your children. Take authority over your households. Take authority over your finances. I'm going to say a prayer here with you to help you understand that you can decree a thing. And we're going to decree that every person here at the sound of my voice who is seeking to get their income levels up and get their finances and their bank account levels up so that they can do the will of God and the work of God and to free themselves from their 8-to-5, believing that God will do the work and give the increase. God will do the work and you will assist him, collaborating with God to do God's work. God will begin to give the increase, and bank accounts will begin to be filled, and income and bills will be paid off, and you'll become free of all debt to free you up to get ready to go out in the highways and byways and to transition yourself unto a God so that God can use you. I had to get out of the way so God can use me. You're going to have to get out of the way so God can use you. Say it to yourself, I had to get out of cell and get out of way so God can use me. That's what you're going to have to do, because sometimes self gets in the way. Flesh is desperately wicked, ladies and gentlemen, and I told you, who could know the heart? Get out of the way so God can use you. If you want your riches now here on this earth and your blessings and you want to be the empress, being able to pick and choose and have your finance, get yourself out of the way and let God use you and become an instrument and a tool so he can use. You never want anything. Your well will never run dry. And remember the story of the woman who had the jar with oil, and the jar never ran dry. She was able to take all the pots in the house and fill it with oil and cook up many hot cakes. She had so much oil she could sell it. He gave her a resource, an income, so that she was never broke. God could give you an income and a source so that you're never broke. You are working with God now. You're God, little children. You have no business being broke. At least that in your spirit. Now rise up and declare yourself rich, rich with substance of character, income, resources, ability to give to others, authority to take from the wicked and give to the poor. Declare it, decree it, it will come to pass. It's in you, it's in you, it's in you, it's in you to be rich in your spirit first and claiming all manners of things that belong to you. Don't go thinking that the more you give to the church, you're going to get rich. You're going to be sorry and hurt, and you're going to have to be accountable to God for understanding spiritual things. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank you for being a part of this segment of the show. And you know, it is our ability. Our faith gives us the ability to get riches. We know that we can't do anything in our own spirit, that we have to have the power of faith.
Faith in our hearts when it seems that our lives
Yes, yes. Our faith is strong, ladies and gentlemen. And this is the sixth segment of the initiation in Maya teaching. And it is a true stage of becoming a God at this stage, ladies and gentlemen. And it was our main intention to bring you into perfecting a thing and to acquiring the laws that a God would. Once you acquire the laws, then anything is possible and obtainable. As we talked about alchemy, drawing money to us and drawing that to us that we have need of. And we all have need of alchemy. We can't exist without it. And we must understand that true gods have it around them in abundance, and it's at their disposal. And we can call it to us, ladies and gentlemen. And don't forget it. We got to get out of the way and get out of self so God can use us. But don't start asking for filthy lucre just to build your houses and institutions. Do the work of God. Let yourself get out of the way. Like I said, I had to get out of the way so God can use me. Yeah, you're going to have to get out of the way so God can use you. Now, if God is using you and he has need of your skills and tools, don't you think he will provide you with that that you need? The filthy lucre will be at your disposal. Don't go telling me the more money you give the church, the richer you're going to be. That's not going to happen. I have not seen or interviewed an individual yet who's given large sums of money to the church who become rich. None that I know of. And if that is a concept in the Bible, please show it to me and bring it to me, because I have not seen that to be scripture. Neither have I seen it to be scripture to drop money at the feet of the pastor's feet. And you tell them that Omi said, it's not written out in the scriptures that anyone should drop money, good, hard-earned money, to the feet of a man who is doing what God has called him to do. We're not supposed to take anything for our words and our teaching. Go into the world and preach the word and don't take anything for it. Now, if you're dropping money before his feet, you are out of order. God cannot bless you and give you the ability to have measures of money pressed down, runneth over into your bosom and pressed together. So stop it, I say. It is not scriptural, nor is it spiritual. God wants you to stop casting your money to the swine and give it to those who have need of your donkey and need of your income. You've got to get out of the way so God can use you. Oh, on that note, I want to say, oh, devil, and I will see you again tomorrow here in this classroom, same time, same place. Be ready, ladies and gentlemen, so we can have our discussion. And don't forget to lock that number in so that you can come back tomorrow at 646-470-478-0270. Lock it in, ladies and gentlemen, and keep it right there. Keep it right there. Keep it right there. On that note, I say, oh, double, and baba booey to you, y'all, and I'll see you tomorrow. Thank you.